Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 631, Barvo, Please, But Thank You. Recorded live on May 31st, 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And the countdown to E3 continues. It is 2 weeks away until we get to learn the latest and greatest about video game news and hopefully the next Halo and a whole bunch of other things. Xbox press conference, week and a half away, and then kind of in 2 weeks. Technically 12 days is when E3 starts, but it's getting close. And there have been some rumors and speculation out there that we will see a Halo game announcement, which I don't think has surprised anybody. I think it's pretty much guaranteed, without being officially guaranteed at this point, that Halo 6 is going to be announced at E3.
Well, something will be announced at E3.
Yes. It likely will be Halo 6, though. No, Haas. Haas just said Halo 6 Chris follower. No. Just no.
Why, Haas? Why?
Why even do that? That's no. Bad. Bad Haas.
Bad Haas. Jeez.
Elaborate Toast is saying Halo 6 Rain Sands? I don't even. Is that a reference to something? I don't get it. Does that make sense to you, GT, at all?
No, it makes absolutely no sense to me.
I like Satan G. Lewis's Halo 6, Electric Boogaloo. And then Haas. Okay, I like this one a little bit better. Halo 6, Cloaks. Cloak Chief, Poncho Chief.
Poncho Chief!
Poncho Chief. Desert Chief. Not to be confused with Desert Chief. Very important distinction. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive into our normal roundup of things. First, to top it off, our community stream events from this past week. GT, how did we do on Fraggin' Fridays?
We shot a lot of people. No, actually, we had a lot of fun. We wound up spending most of our night in Big Team and Warzone, so we had a large group.
Okay. It seems like we've been getting large groups over the past few weeks, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys dive into?
Oh, we were running Big Team, and we did a few games of Warzone.
Very nice. Which there's going to be some updates coming to Warzone, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
We didn't play any Turbo, though. We just played regular Warzone.
I got to play one game of Turbo over the weekend. And then they ended it on Tuesday. They didn't even give it the full week to live. It was up on Thursday and then down on Tuesday.
Well, that's weird.
Kind of sucked. I was hoping to play more Warzone Turbo.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that.
I mean, how else are you going to use your wrecks that you almost never use? Right?
Yeah.
We'll see. There is a couple other things that we'll get to. My Sunday stream, I got to play with some of the community. Darkrai, who was in here earlier, got to play with him. I'm forgetting who else I played with. I don't know why I'm forgetting. But we went and got 6 achievements in MCC.
Oh, speaking of which, how long did it take to get the ghost achievement?
Not very long, actually. Since it was co-op, we didn't have too many issues with the Iron Skull. For that mission, I think it took us under an hour.
Well, that's pretty good. Last time I did that mission, I think it took us 2.5 hours.
For just that achievement?
For just that one achievement, yeah. The first hour was just getting to the ghost. The next hour and a half was getting to the end of the level.
Okay.
There are people that weren't doing a very good job of keeping up.
Ouch. Yeah, that can hurt sometimes. Yeah, I'm kind of sad I don't remember who I was playing with. But yeah, we got quite a few people. I had a full party of four playing with me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That makes those co-op achievements a lot easier to get.
Yes, it does. And we'll be going for more this next week. We got, what else did we get? We got the one on Subo Highway where you have to have four vehicles jump over the gap.
Oh, that one's actually a pretty easy one. If you've got competent drivers, at least.
Yeah, that's kind of typically how it goes. But it wasn't that bad, really. All right, I'm trying to go through and see who I was playing with. I don't even remember. Which, if anyone's listening to this that was playing with me, I'm sorry. Darkrai was one. Oh, Ward 47 was another one. And maybe was it Elaborate Toast?
I thought I saw Elaborate Toast in your stream when I stopped by.
Yeah, so it was. Yeah, okay, sorry, Toast. I wasn't reading the chat there for a minute. Yeah, it was Elaborate Toast. Oh, and Elaborate Toast just reminded me of something. Was it you, Toast, who did this? I don't know if it was you or someone else. But we had been joking about how funny it would have been if someone died right before we got to the very end. And it was like 5 minutes before we actually tried to get, we got to the end. So we were like, yeah, that kind of suck. And then it actually happened. Yeah. I have the video up on my Xbox feed, but it was funny because we were joking about it, and then it just happened. Like, we actually got to the cutscene, I hit A, and the next thing I know, we were back at the last checkpoint, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This actually just happened.
Well, that sucks.
It was like, what?
Somebody jinxed it, Toast.
Yeah. I don't think it was Toast. Toast said he wasn't the one that did it. He think it was Darkrai that fell, but it was just you couldn't have jinxed it worse.
No, I meant for jinxing it.
Oh, well, yeah. So that was interesting. But we got 6 achievements.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Achievements are always fun.
Achievements are very nice to get. I don't remember what other achievements we got. We got 2 different ones in Spartan Ops. Got the 2 in Halo 3 and one. Okay, yeah, 1 in Halo 4. Save the Marines on the 4th mission, which that one was a pain because trying to keep track of all the Marines and make sure they didn't die was a pain.
And then I remember that one. That sucked.
Even in the original Halo, that one was a pain. And the Marines would walk in front of you whenever you would hop on the turrets or try to shoot the Prometheans. It was just one of those things. It's like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But we got 6 achievements. And I am now down to, I think, 75 achievements left. I think this next weekend, I'm going to be going for the Vidmaster on Coastal Highway. There's a couple of other, I think, campaign-related co-op ones I can do, and then the week after that I will probably be going into the Parscore stuff, or I might dabble in a little bit of Halo Wars 2 because Postums wants to get us Podtacular peeps over to play a little bit. Yeah, so I might do some Blitzer or something else. We'll see. Continuing the MCC grind for achievements next week, or this coming weekend for sure. And I think that's all we got for now. Hosted remind me, I did stream on Monday with some of the Halo Hub crew. And I think we might be streaming again tonight after the show. So some more Halo gaming on that. So I'll once this podcast is over, I'll probably transition just into some Halo gameplay. If we're doing MCC or Halo 5, but we're going to be playing Halo nonetheless.
More Halo.
More Halo. That's what the people want, so that's what we'll give the people. There you go. Shall we jump into the news?
Sure, why not?
Okay. We got quite a few things to talk about today. Of course, last week, Grim decided to release the community update Eastern Time at 2 in the morning. So we completely missed it, so we'll be going over that. I've already been given confirmation by Unitcheck that there is no community update being posted today, so we won't be behind on anything, thankfully. And there is a little bit of recap of Fireteam Raven, but we're not going to worry about that because we discussed that last week. So we're just going to go ahead and skip on to that stuff and get to the rest of it. This one is called Duty in Battle. There is a little bit of an FAQ on the Raven stuff, so we'll lightly touch on that stuff, since there is a couple of things in there that people might be looking for clarification on. So we'll kind of just jump into those. Raven is canon. It will be released in North America exclusively at Dave & Buster's this summer, but it will be coming to other regions and locations later down the road. There was not going to be any kind of Xbox or Windows implementation of the game. It's just going to be for arcade only. The game isn't affecting any Halo 6 development. It is just the arcade. It's a separate team. It's being built by Raw Thrills and Play Mechanics. Obviously, there's a little bit of 343 involvement, but it is completely separate for the team working on the first-person shooter installment that we'll probably hear about at E3 this year. There will be a broader level distribution, and the question is, I want a machine for my house. How much does it cost? They say additional information will be available later this year. So, all you crazy people that want a massive arcade machine, 11 by 11 foot arcade machine in your house, which, I mean, I would want one, but one, I would have nowhere to put it, and two, I think my wife would give me a really weird look.
You have the basement.
Yeah, but there's a TV and a projector, and then my office. I mean, the only place I'd have to bust out more basement space, which I technically could do, but, and my wife is laughing over here.
I don't think you need the TV.
Well, the projector screen will be in place of it, so I could. No, because then I wouldn't be able to use the projector screen. No, just, I'd have to.
You know,
they
make these things called living rooms that you can put TVs in. They're social spaces that you entertain people in.
There's already a TV up there, and down here is for when we have movie nights and lots of people over, like 12 people plus. So, yeah. Yeah, you could probably hear her laughing. A built-in arcade machine. Yeah, probably not.
You know she'd love it.
I think she would enjoy the co-op aspect of it. But there's a Dave & Buster's close by, so we'll just go there and spend tens of
See, what you do is you dollars. Take her over to Dave & Buster's, get her hooked on it, and then buy one.
I got to get her through MCC first, so she can at least appreciate the story before just being dropped into the scenario.
Picky, picky, picky.
So we have discussed this, and I think I've brought it up on the show before, but once she's done teaching for the year, we're probably going to start doing a weekly stream of her going through Halo, because I figure it's one of those things you don't see that much on live streams. So seeing her kind of learn about the game and figuring out how to play it would be kind of entertaining for people to watch. I think a little bit of a positive influence for people that might not be into video games that want to see someone kind of getting into it, and just for general amusement, because there will be that.
No, I think it'd be a good show to watch.
I certainly hope so. So that's all the little FAQ stuff for Raven. Just kind of some quick and upfront questions to clarify the air of anything that might be confusing. Next is a little bit of a refresh on the upcoming MLG New Orleans. Tickets are available. They are $29.99 for each pass, and the play is obviously on July 13th through the 15th. So you can go ahead and get your tickets. You can either go through the MLG website, or you can go through the Halo.gg website to find out where to get your tickets. There's also tweets everywhere, but spectator tickets, again, are $29.99, and again, it's for July 13th through the 15th. Open tournament is up to $250,000 in prize money. In light of Memorial Day here in the United States, the artist Jeremy Cook as we've all come to know and love his work, put together a nice little header image that you can associate with your waypoint profile. And it's just a monument to the
to all your heroes. Sins. Oh.
That would be Halo appropriate, yes, but just a monument to the countless heroes in our lives, whether here in the States or overseas or elsewhere. Nice little monument of Master Chief. And you got some long swords in the background. Go ahead and take the time to update your waypoint profile with the background header and show some, I guess, respect and Memorial Day celebration. Even though that's coming on, but it's still available. MCC Playdate. There was one this past Sunday. This was playing on the Master Chief Collection Team Slayer playlist. So they were dabbling a little bit in MCC stuff with the MCC hype. Durski's, Postum's, Rinsky, and IK Grub were playing this past week. And I think there was also the social stream this past Tuesday with Grim and a couple others as well. So they're doing one to two streams a week, which is pretty good. Your chances of getting the, was it the Ice Unicorn skin, is increasing drastically.
Yeah, the Sunday stream, I didn't even realize was going on until it was just about over.
Yeah. The ones during the weekdays, though, they just don't have time to get there in time because it's during the work day or when we're on our way home. There'll be another play date at some point. It seems like they're doing these almost weekly now. So plenty of opportunities to get involved and play. The Forge Hub Halo 2 Anniversary Forge Tackler submission thread is now open. I don't know if we mentioned that last week. The submission thread is available now, so all of your maps that you're working on for Halo 2 Anniversary, if you've been working on them, you can go ahead and start submitting them if they're done. Otherwise, you have until June 10th, which is two Sundays from now, so about the time you're listening to this, if you download about a week from now, to submit your map. And then judging will be taking place over the next 3 weeks, with the winners announced a week and a half later. And again, you have the possibility of getting $500 for the first place map, $350 for the second place map, and $150 for the third place map, all with Forge Up t-shirts, and then various Halo 343 waypoint prizes, including the possibility to get your map featured in the Halo 2 Anniversary playlist, and special Waypoint Avatar titles and playdates with 343. All good and fancy stuff. A little update on the Halo Wars 2 community tourneys. Team Respawn is having their tournaments on May 25th and 27th and June 8th and 10th. The Banished on June 2nd and Breaking the Clutch on May 26th and June 9th. So if you're interested in Halo Wars 2 tournaments, then make sure you check out all three of those tournament communities and go on over, register, and play and get some Halo Wars 2 game action in there. I wonder if Bobby's tried to participate in any of these. I'm guessing with his new internet, probably not. But he seems pretty good enough to me to possibly give some people a run for their money.
Well, the nice thing about games like that is you're not as dependent on just a super high quality internet connection. Don't get me wrong, you still need a decent one. But it's not as critical as like an FPS where, you're having to react in a fraction of a second.
It still is nice to have that.
Oh yeah, it's nice to have.
Overall strategy, I don't think is affected by it too much. Next up is Warzone changes. So they're making some loadout weapon changes and scoring changes. They've seen some things with the rec weapons, how time to match ending needs to be tweaked a little bit. Some of the weapons are underperforming as well as far as being able to acquire them. So on the loadout weapons, the battle rifle is going from 3 rec power to 2. The extended mag is going up from 2 to 3. Halo 2 battle rifle is going up from 4 to 5. That kind of sucks. DMR is going down from 6 to 5. Recon DMR is going down from 6 to... basically every DMR is going down from 6 to 5. The DMR, Recon, Sentinel, Hybrid, and Morph.
Well, that's good. I think.
Yeah. We'll see. Kind of sucks that the Halo 2 Battle Rifle is going up because I've been using that a lot lately in Warzone.
Oh, yeah. I don't use the Halo 5 Battle Rifle anymore. I just...
It makes sense.
I can't do anything with it, so I just don't use it.
I think that's one of the reasons why they're bumping it down. So it gets used a little more before you get access to the Halo 2 Battle Rifle. I mean, it makes sense, because I don't even... I just go from the AR almost straight to the Battle Rifle in most cases.
Well, I go from the pistol to the Battle Rifle.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Those are the changes coming to the loadout weapons, and then there's some scoring changes happening. For a Spartan kill, instead of 1 point, you will now get 2 points. And this change is, as of this podcast, now in effect. We actually got a tweet from Unicheck right before we started recording that the changes are now in play for the weapon balancing, for the rec power for the loadout weapons, and the scoring change. So this will help, hopefully, make it to where the Warzone matches don't drag on for longer than necessary. Especially when one team is just getting outpaced completely by another. Makes it to where it ends a little bit quicker. We'll see how it turns out. I was talking to GT before the show, so I'll bring it up again during the podcast, but I'm wondering how that's going to affect boss battles. Because you have some of them that the legendary boss spawns at the end of the mission, and sometimes you get to the point where it's not even on the field for a minute or two before the game is actually over. So I'm wondering if some of those legendary boss battles aren't even going to make it into some of the matches with this change. Because I would say, what, points? Spartan kill points probably make up for, what, maybe 15%? Of the points?
Well, total? It depends on the way they're playing the match.
Of course.
You know, some of them, some teams, the Spartan kill points can make up half of their score or more.
Even with the mini bosses?
Yeah. You know, if they just focus on kills.
I guess. That's a testament to, I guess, their skill, but at the same time, that's kind of scary.
I know. Yeah. You know, it's dying is going to be a lot more, is going to affect the outcome of game more.
Right. I'm trying to run through the scenarios in my head, trying to figure out if that's actually a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's
one of those deals. It's going to just have to be a wait and see. You know, honestly,
I think it kind of goes away from the original objective of Warzone, but I think it sounds like it would be better from a player experience.
It does take some of the focus away from the bosses. It will seem like, you know, to me, it seems like it'll make the bosses less important to, you know, just to players. But we'll see. We'll see how it actually affects the game. You know, if the games are getting over too fast where, you know, the games aren't even making it to the final bosses before they're over, then I'm sure 343 will make some tweaks.
Sure. It sounds like it might be, I think, more better than not. I'm just thinking of the time I play Warzone. And having those situations where there is so much focus on mini bosses because of points. Uh-huh. Where you have players, like once those bosses are up, you don't have players necessarily engaging each other anymore unless there is a base in being contested or you have just kind of an ongoing fight taking place at that time. Otherwise, everyone kind of stops what they're doing. Ghost takes care of the mini bosses and then goes back to fighting each other. At least that's the sense from what I can recollect on my Warzone games that I get.
And I don't think it's going to change anything. I think it's still, you know, people are still going to stop and focus on mini bosses because, you know, they're easy points, honestly.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't have to really you'll lose a lot of people on your team to take care of them. You know, you two or three people can break off, especially in the higher rec levels, to, you know, just go kill mini bosses. You know, I don't think it's really going to affect the mini bosses. You know, I'm like you. I think if it affects anything, it's going to affect the big boss battles.
How so?
Well, just not getting to them. You know, that's about the only negative effect I can see.
You mean like time-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting to that final boss.
Yeah. And that's a big point changer. And sometimes that's the changer from a team losing to a team winning is getting that legendary boss.
Mm-hmm. Or the mythic boss or, you know, whichever one spawns.
I've been in plenty of situations where we're down and we have only won because we got that boss. And if we're not getting that boss anymore, some of those swing situations aren't going to happen. Unless they tweak the timers on when the bosses spawn.
Like I said,
I'm still of the opinion that there needs to be a little more randomness to when the bosses spawn and what types of bosses spawn.
Yeah, it shouldn't be something that's predictable.
I mean, maybe the time is predictable, but the boss itself shouldn't be.
Yeah, I agree. You should not be able to predict the pattern of bosses.
Or maybe say a boss will only spawn 1:30 to 3 minutes after the previous boss, and then be random at 30-second intervals. Something like that. I think that would provide a uniqueness to every game of Warzone, other than just fighting a different group of people every time. So, moving along, we have a couple of radar blips. We have a playlist changeover. So, Action Sack is now back in the playlist rotation. And this is going to replace Griffball. So, Griffball is gone. Anniversary Throwback is in its second week. And then Action Sack is here with games like Minotaurs, Prop Hunt, Riftball, and more. And that is live as of today. I might have to dip into that a little bit and stop playing Super Fiesta for a little bit.
Yeah, but Super Fiesta is so much fun.
I know, but Prop Hunt's also fun. I don't know if I've played Riftball. Or at least it's not ringing a bell. I've played Minotaurs.
Yeah, I think pretty much everybody's played Minotaurs.
Yeah. Riftball. I wonder if... Well, it might be a little too long for matchmaking, but the unsorted guy's battleground, that would be cool in Action Sack, I think. I have to go and try to play that again at some point. Especially if we're getting as big of lobbies as we're getting on Fridays, that would be a good time to actually see what he's fixed. Because he's made a couple of fixes to that map since we played it last. So recap, Anniversary Throwback is in its second week, and Action Sack is here to replace Griffball. Next up in the Radar Blips Turbo, they announced last week that I was here, and now it's come and gone. Left Tuesday. Starting June 3rd, you can play Halo 5 for rec packs and prizes at Microsoft stores, so they're continuing on their tournament series. The first 2v2 is coming up here pretty soon. So again, smash.gg/MRSHalo to look up the leagues for your local Microsoft store. And that's going to be starting June 3rd with a 2v2. And they have one every month. They unveiled the figure last week. We talked about that. That's included for the Halo Legendary crate. Again, this is the last one for year 2. So you have until June 15th, which is just a little over 2 weeks from now, to get your Legendary crate. I actually had a memorial code on for 20% off the crate. So for those that got it, the code and took advantage of it, good to you. If not, you can go on over to podtackler.com/lootcrate and then use podtackler at checkout to get $3 off a crate or subscription. Again, you have until June 15th at 9 p.m. Pacific time or midnight Eastern to order your crate. Lots of stuff in the community spotlight this week. More than half of the update is community spotlight stuff. which I guess is a good thing.
Well, there must be a lot of news.
There, yeah. Lots of community stuff. I guess the community hype is coming up for E3, so lots of community content to cover. Someone made a little collage. Actually, this is Xbox One. That made a little collage of some Halo remakes and other games. So it's kind of interesting to see how Halo has perforated through the boundaries of other games. So this is remakes done in WWE, Minecraft, Far Cry 5, and probably Forza's in there, and a whole lot of other things. So just a kind of quick overview of where Halo has made its mark into other gaming franchises. Pretty cool watch. There is a grunt-themed wood carving that someone did for their fourth grade art project. For a fourth grader, that grunt looks pretty good.
Not too bad.
Yeah, the head's a little small, I guess, compared to the backpack. But other than that, you can definitely tell it's a grunt. So way to go, dude. Halo Regent 19, fourth grade art project. I could only hope I could draw that well in fourth grade.
Well, I wish I could draw that good now.
Yeah, that too. Next one is a video overview on The Covenant. This is done by the Templin Institute. Bailey J3 is back again with some more artwork. And this one is inspired off of the Prophet of Truth figure from the Legendary Crate. And we've seen his work highlighted many times before, and it is beautifully done. This makes the Prophet of Truth in Halo 3 look like claymation. This thing is really good. Granted, I mean, it was Halo 3 and Xbox 360, but still, really beautifully done. Way to go, Bailey. Eckhart's Ladder makes the update as well. We had him on the podcast a couple months ago. And his latest video is How the Covenant Won the Battle for Earth. It's a Halo battle breakdown of the Halo fleet at Earth, along with the MAC battle clusters against the Covenant Navy that attacked. Or sorry, how the Covenant won against how the Covenant won the battle for Earth, not the UNSC. There is a maybe watercolor type of artwork. I'm pretty bad at determining what artwork is work, but someone over on Twitter by the name of Jade_PNG drew up this really cool Sangheili training piece of artwork that's in the forest and two Sangheilis with wooden poles fighting each other. It's almost like a master and a student type of artwork, but it's really beautifully done. It kind of reminds me of the Halo CE terminals, that kind of style, almost the Halo Legends art style in some of the shorts. It's really cool. Makes for a cool phone wallpaper too. It's more vertical than horizontal.
Phone wallpaper is always important.
Yes. We talked about this last week or maybe the week before, and it was brought up in the update for this past week, but the Halo 5 scripted Pelican flight has made the rounds up on the bulletin now. Someone got a really sick ground pound in Castle Wars. Couldn't have timed it better. Basically collided with a flag taker off of the traditional Castle Wars set. Jumped off one of the towers and collided with the flag carrier to stop him almost near the ground. I don't know if you've watched this one yet, but it's a pretty sick ground pound. Hidden Xperia has his video on asking the question, are jackals immune to the flood? I have to admit, I haven't watched it yet. Have you watched it yet, GT?
Not the Jackal. Yes, I watched the Jackal ones. I haven't watched the Grunt one yet.
Okay. So that is being highlighted this week. ValDog21 from Reddit drew a really cool chief helmet with pin and marker. Halo Cannon is also being featured. How the Nightmare changed with the Flood in Halo Wars 2 and Awakening the Nightmare. Land Elect Lobster also has some pretty cool Halo 3 inspired artwork. I forget what kind of artwork this is called, where it's just like very few colors and it's almost kind of sectioned off. There's a term for it. Minimalistic, that's it.
Okay.
So some cool minimalistic.
Yeah, I don't know that artwork. Term.
Yeah, it's okay. I didn't know for a second either. We have some more Forge inspiration from the Far East. It's a Forge map variant called Gypsy Avenger versus Obsidian Fury. And I mean, you thought you saw some pretty cool Forge stuff. These guys are just insane. It's nice to see the Far East actually getting into stuff like this, because Halo is usually a Western game, but to see people getting into the Forge and making art out of it is just really, really cool. Next up is a Photoshop, I guess, for the most shot. It's a Halo Hot Shots, but it's Halo Combat Evolved 80s retro style. Kind of has that Tron feel to it a little bit with the grid on the bottom. Next up is a kind of a Heavy Rain influence on a Halo map, which looks kind of eerie, but I think it works. And so does Grim. Wang Time has his little artwork that he did for Postums featured as well. This is the crazy one with all the colors and Postum Spartan holding a mug saying "This is fine" on it. Again, Wang Time makes some pretty wicked stuff when it comes to Halo. For some other Halo hotshots, we have a Spartan being painfully ejected from a Wasp. Looks like from a fuel rod blast. It looks very painful.
Well, getting ripped out of a Wasp is never an easy thing.
No. We have kind of a stock screenshot of an Elite on top of one of the Blood Gulch bases in Halo 2 Anniversary. No, it's not Blood Gulch. I forget what the map is called. And there's a couple other theme library ones as well. Some Halo 3 cutscene screenshots taken, and Angels and Demons, some from Reach, and a couple other ones there as well. So that'll cover it for the community stuff. And that wraps up last week's update. Next up on the docket, we have just a reminder for the Halo Challenge. You have one more week to submit your videos to Halo Waypoint using the hashtag Halo Challenge. This is where you're singing the Halo Muck chant that everyone knows from the original Halo games. You have until June 8th at 11:59 Pacific Time, basically midnight. That'll be 3 a.m. on June 9th Eastern Time to submit your video, and then the winner will be randomly selected to win an Xbox One X. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, Halo Bad Blood has been making the rounds again to be announced that it is available for pre-order. So if you head on over to Amazon right now, the paperback version is $12.80. That's down from the $16 amount that is MSRP. Kindle version is $11.99. And then the Audible one, I have to click over here to see what the cost is. $14.88 for the Audible version.
Discount!
Yeah, you might want to get that before it goes up again. So you can find all of that over on podtacular.com/badblood. That will take you to the listing on Amazon, so you can order it there. That's a little kind of quick way to get you there. I didn't know they had an audio CD version, but apparently that's $29.99.
Oh, that's something new I haven't seen in a while.
You can buy it on CD.
Well, them even offering it on CD.
Well, I'm looking at some of the other ones now just to kind of compare it, and this is the only one I see that is on CD. Oh, New Blood was on CD.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just usually Amazon pushes Audible.
Right. Well, it's interesting because the audio CD is Prime eligible too. That's interesting. So I wonder if it's only certain authors. Oh no, there's actually a lot of CDs. Like when I click on the CD thing, there's a CD for Evolutions, Ghost of Onyx, Core Protocol, Primordium, Glasslands, Thursday War, Dictata, Silentium.
Well, those are Broken Circle. Yeah, those I know because I own those on CD.
So I guess some of them are. I guess a lot of the older ones are, and then.
It's the newer ones that I haven't.
So it looks like only Broken Circle, New Blood, and Bad Blood. Interesting. So yeah, Bad Blood you can get on audio CD if you want. There you go. That'll be shipping out on June 26th. So you can pre-order it and then have it shipped to you if you're getting a physical copy, or you can get it delivered electronically to you if you're going the Audible or Kindle route on that one. Okay, diving into some other sad news. Bravo, in about a month or so, will be leaving 343 Industries, going on to bigger and hopefully, well, maybe bigger and better things. Better things for sure, but he made the announcement on Twitter yesterday that after over 5 years, he is finally leaving 343 from an official capacity and will be focusing on some of his own personal projects and spending time with family. He'll still be around to cast MLG events. He's not going away from the Halo scene, but he will be returning to the Halo community as a plain Joe like the rest of us, but he'll still be around doing stuff with Halo. For
sure. Well, that's good.
It's kind of one of those things that I did not expect this to be happening. I thought Bravo would be there for quite some time. I mean, 5+ years is not anything to squawk at for sure, but it was just one of those things. It's like, oh, I was not expecting this.
Yeah.
But it was...
Well, I totally get it.
So he'll still be at all the events. As far as the HCS stuff is concerned, he'll still be casting. I'm assuming he'll be going to some of the events. So I don't remember if he said he was moving or not. But I'm guessing he might be at PAX or something like that. But he's still casting, so he's not going that far. I know you haven't had a chance to meet him, GT. Or did you meet him at RTX? No, because we were there.
No, he wasn't there at RTX.
Yeah, so
nobody was there at RTX.
Yeah, that year was... That was not RTX this year either. So, which is why I'm not going for the first year in 5 years. But he'll be there for another month, and I figured we'd just take the time. I asked on Twitter for some people's stories on their interactions with Bravo, what they thought of Bravo, and just kind of to get a general consensus of what people think of the man who was the community manager for a while and has made an impact on quite a few people. So I went to Twitter and asked people to kind of list off some things that of their interactions or some fun memories of Bravo, and I got a few back, so I'm going to read through those now, and then I don't know if you have an interaction story with Bravo at all, GT, but I have a couple of stories that I'll share afterwards.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I've never met the gentleman as much as I would like to have.
Mm-hmm. It sucks you weren't... maybe there'll be the opportunity at some point in the future. I mean, I hope there is.
I don't know. There's probably pretty good opportunity to meet him at, you know, maybe like PAX Prime or something like that. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be, you know, just totally, totally absent from, you know, conventions.
No, I don't think he'll be absent from conventions completely. I don't think he may be going to as many because he won't be getting paid or having to go there. But I figure there'll still be a few that he'll try to make. And if he's going to be in Seattle, I think he'll be around for PAX, obviously, and probably Emerald City Comic Con, unless he is moving, and then he might just be showing up to the competitive events or focusing on those.
Well, it depends on, you know, where he's moving.
Yeah.
You know, if he's still staying in the Washington area, it's entirely possible he'll still show up for
Community Day and a couple of the other things that we get to have. And it'll be cool when you're able to make it out there, having the Wings on Wednesday and then the Recarbecue on Thursday and the Community Day on Friday. That'll be really cool. Finally get you into that experience.
Yeah, I've been kind of playing with the idea if I want to even attempt the Wings Challenge.
Really? Have to might get you connected with. I know Eli's tried it. I think there was someone else from the RUL side that tried it. I don't remember if it was Wardog.
It's five wings and...
Seven.
Seven wings?
Seven wings.
And they give you, what, 10 minutes?
Gosh, I can't remember. Haas, if you're around, help me out. I think it's seven wings and 14 minutes? I don't remember if Haas tried it. Maybe he did at one point. Haas, if you're around,
chime in. Haas did.
Okay.
I thought Haas did.
He may have. I don't remember. First one we got is from Kenny. He said, the man is deadly at foosball, which is kind of accurate. Foosball, and yeah, he's there was one time we were in Austin for an RTX. This was, it was Austin. We were walking downtown. This was a couple years after I met him, and we walked into a bar that had the foosball table, and he just started going crazy. Apparently, like, during his MLG days, he would be playing foosball a lot, too, and he is insanely good at foosball. I don't think anyone could really beat him at it that much, but they had a foosball table and one of those hockey tables that have the big plastic dome over it in the lounge area at 343. So a couple of times, this last year and the year before, after the community day was done, we'd basically be playing foosball or ping pong or the hockey just for like an hour or two afterwards. And he would get into it. He is like super into those kinds of games, and he knows how to play. Unicracken also posted a picture of some action. Sketch and Bravo are one team, and then Grim. And I'm not sure who's on the other side of Grim, but they're playing the U.S. kind of that table hockey. And Hidden Xperia said he recorded the entire game. I think that's up on his YouTube somewhere. Probably is in like a blog or something. I don't know if he put the whole video up there or just maybe a portion of it in his blog update, but there is some footage of him playing out there. So, Halo 6 Foosball Edition? Who knows?
The Halo Foosball Table.
Hey, you never know. That might be the next product that we see coming out of the 343, the Halo Foosball Table. Get on that, guys. I know some of the product team. I don't know if they're listening or not, but they are. James, get on it. Let's see. We also got, apparently Green Skull said he beat Bravo twice in a row at foosball, which I'm not sure.
I think Green Skull's fibbing.
I don't think so. Unicracken responded with a tweet that I guess he posted in direct response to Bravo, but he said his favorite story of a personal interaction was during PAX 2016. He was running the Halo 5 booth and he chased me down because Unicracken walked off after playing a match before he had handed out the exclusive Mega Constructs figure they had. Talk about an interesting way to meet someone in the community. It's like, oh, I'm playing your game, and like walking off is like, oh, well, thanks for bringing this. By the way, I'm this person. And Bravo's just like, wait, you're this guy? So, yeah, that's an interesting... I think that's probably a unique way to get introduced to this. Yeah. So thanks, Unicracken and Kenny, for those. Let's see, who else do we have on here? Tasman says, at the Halo WC Seattle, he was really down for my zip line from the caster booth to the main desk idea. Like, actually trying to work out the logistics to make it happen seriously. Got a hell of a fist bump from him to bring that idea to the table. So, for anyone who didn't watch the Halo World Championship 2018, the caster booth was in a room far upstairs and in, not necessarily in the distance, but there was one window overlooking the general stage area. And it was probably 30 feet up. It was probably a second floor technically, but it was up in the air and kind of far away just to kind of get that background effect that you saw on stream. And the caster booth was on the direct opposite side of the room. So this is probably about I don't know, 120 to 150 feet away. So a zip line could actually be done to go from the caster booth all the way down to the analyst desk.
Well, that'd have been fun.
It would have been fun. Someone's got to make that happen for next year. Ward 47 said it was awesome to meet him in person at RTX last year. That's cool. Yeah, RTX has always been a little part of Halo. It's sad that they're not going this year. They just don't have anything to show. So they're, and I don't know if it's going to be in direct contest time-wise again with Gamescom, because RTX this year is August 4th through the 6th. I think that's the right set of dates. The 3rd through the 5th. So it's not during the 4th of July weekend anymore. And I'm not sure how much more times it is going to be during the 4th of July weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing that they've done it that way for so long, and then all of a sudden they change it. And it kind of makes me wonder what's going on. I know the year that I went, they had to do it that way just because the convention hall was already scheduled that weekend, you know, when they went to set the schedule.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know if that's the issue that they're into this year. I mean, I'm kind of guessing it is, or if it's something that they are just trying to move away from the 4th of July week in general.
Well, I can understand, you know, why they would want to move away from the holiday, because, you know, that does complicate things, because there's lots of things going on in that weekend in Austin. Well, in any city, actually, you know, between the different fireworks displays and the, you know, different celebrations.
Yeah. I mean, there has been some kind of benefits. For me, I get I don't have to take extra days of leave. But, I mean, I understand that those are the people that probably want to spend time with their families, especially during the holidays. So, whatever the reason is, I have a feeling that the 4th of July date might not be as firm of a date anymore for RTX going down in the future. It's just a feeling I got. That's all I can say to it, really.
I guess we'll see again next year.
Yeah.
See what they do next year.
Well, if Halo 6 is going to be announced at E3, which it likely is, then we'll probably have something playable at all the conventions next year. Maybe not as early as PAX East, but during the summer, probably E3 will be the kickoff of being hands-on gameplay for the media for Halo 6 next year. That's my guess.
Yeah, and at my current schedule, it's probably going to be next year before I'll be able to go.
Which it would honestly be a perfect time to go.
Yeah, you know, I really want to go when there is an active Halo game. Well, you know, an up-and-coming or something like that. You know, just to be part of that hype.
No, it's definitely an awesome feeling. I think it's sharing that feeling with a lot of other community people, like together or in the same place, is just an awesome feeling and something that you can't get anywhere else. Zechariah says, I always remember Bravo for what he did during his coaching days. He's easily the top three Halo coaches of all time. Him figuring out that you could delay the spawn time on power weapons in Halo 3 was groundbreaking and meta-defining. He also said, I'll never forget him screaming Mason jump when TD beat Dynasty on Guardian Oddball. So a little bit of MLG cred right there.
Little bit.
Yep. And then Forked says, my most recent memory of Andy is him trying to betray me in Castle Wars.
No, he wouldn't do that much.
Much. So thanks everyone for who commented and left us a little note on your memories of Bravo. I will say for me, I first met Bravo at PAX East 2012. I think it was 2012. And it was, he was working the Astro booth at the time, running a Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary multiplayer thing, and that was where they had the CEA anniversary maps within Reach. So he was running some 1v1s on that, I think it's been a long time ago. I'd have to go back and either check the podcast or check the stories. But there was a TV that they were using to play on, which happened to be my parents' TV at the time. So I knew how to change the modes to go it from their standard kind of viewing experience to the game mode. So I played them one-on-one. I obviously didn't do too well. I think the score was 10-3 or 15-3. So I got a couple of kills on them. But I was able to change the TV for him and kind of help him out there. And so that was how we first met. And then from there, his just openness and responsiveness has been very welcoming and warming to me and to others within the community. I mean, to me, he's always been responsive and very positive and appreciative. And I know on the show back then we talked about kind of how trepidatious we were of getting someone that was in the competitive scene to be the community manager for Halo, because there was quite a few people back then were like, oh, we're not sure if this is a great idea, having someone from the competitive side going into Halo. Are they really going to adapt well to the overall community? And I think for a while there was a time that he kind of struggled to get out of that competitive focus, but I think over time he really developed that sense of overall community that got him to where he is today. I know early on he had those kind of MLG analysis type videos that he did for Waypoint. While he was trying to serve that community manager role, he had that emphasis on the competitive side because that's where he came from and that's what he knew. But I've been able to see Bravo grow over time to be the engaging and active community member that he is. And I'm proud of what he's been able to accomplish 5+ years in a game that he absolutely loves and has been able to leave his mark on is truly amazing. And I hope that's inspiring to people that need that kind of inspiration. Overall, Bravo's a great guy. It's sad to see him leave Halo. I think he's done a lot to promote the community within Halo, have an interaction with so many different facets of the community, be interested, have memes after him, the Barvo meme, the Barvo Please meme from Reddit Halo. He got his helmet, which Grim made canon within Halo. And I think that's just a testament to how much he's impacted the community, being involved with so many different facets of it. He's done interviews for us on the podcast before at E3 and a couple of other times. And overall, he's just a great personality, great character, and overall great guy. Don't really have anything else to say about him. I think his legacy kind of proves what he did for Halo, and it'll carry on over into whatever his next endeavors are. So Bravo, we will miss you. We appreciate everything that you've done, and we wish you the best on wherever life takes you on your next journeys. We know we'll see you again at other Halo events, but you have made a mark on the franchise, and we thank you and appreciate your service to the community and to the studio. With that said, we'll go ahead and start wrapping up the show. Just a quick reminder, getting the loot crate. You have about 2 weeks left. You're going to head on over to podtackler.com/loot crate and use the code podtackler at checkout for $3 off your crate and or subscription. Bad Blood is available for pre-order. We do have the Amazon link. If you go to podtackler.com/badblood, that will take you to the Amazon link. You can get the Kindle version, the Audible version, or the paperback version, all for less than MSRP right now. So take advantage of that. Also, make sure you check out a new Discord server, the Halo Hub. It's where we're trying to get Halo content creators to come and share their content. So we got lots of people over there, and it's growing every day. So the halohub.com will take you to the Discord server. And we welcome you, whoever you are, whether you're just a Halo fan or if you're a content creator, to go on over there and share content with the rest of the Halo community. Checking up on our Spartan Company commendations. We have, I think, one spot right now, so I need to actually go through and clean out the company list. But we're still grinding for that Achilles helmet. If Halo 6 is coming out next year, it's going to be a question of whether or not we actually get there in time. But for a quick update, we are 538 Marine kills away from getting level 4 complete.
Woohoo!
It's almost there. We're almost less than halfway there. To be fair, I don't know if this is accurate or not, or will help the case or not, but we didn't have as much focus on trying to do Spartan Company commendations before, so I don't know if maybe there's a little bit faster track. I mean, it'd be nice to see kind of what the history of completing the commendations actually is, to see if it's more now than it was like 3 months after Halo came out originally. I mean, if we grind it, I think we could probably get most of the commendations done. I don't think we necessarily get all of them done. I'm not saying that we can't, but I think we could get most of the commendations done before Halo 6 comes out.
Yeah, Marine Kills is probably going to be one of them. Oh,
Marine Kills is going to take quite a while. The few closest one that we have on the level 5, though, is still kill 3 or more enemy Spartans quickly. We have another 655 to go on that one. And then hijack a vehicle or skyjack a flying vehicle. We have another 201 to go on those. Furthest away, level 5 one is the Pain Train, which is the Spartan charge or killing an enemy Spartan with a shoulder bash. That was really hard to
say that twice.
Oh. I know, right?
Can't say it once.
I said it more than twice. Shoulder bash. There you go. We are just on the cusp after getting that one done, so we still have another 9,549 to go. That one's going to be a lot as well. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific podcasts, including Critzcast, Podcast 76, Guardian Radio, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about all those podcasts over at THEPODCAST. They cover things like Destiny, Overwatch, Critzcast, and EVE Online. THEPODCAST.com. Make sure you check us out on all of our social platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Mixer, Twitch, Instagram, all that fun stuff. If you find Podtacular or just search for Podtacular, then you will find us. And no MySpace before any one of you jokers decide to make that comment in the chat.
No, they wouldn't do that.
They did it last week and I missed it. I think it was Haas last week that actually made that comment. We will not be doing Bad Blood right away as far as the book goes. I am currently reading through the Kilo 5 novels. Not sure when I'll have that done to kind of go through those, but that will probably be around the late July or August time frame. And no, Pens is not going to be the Halsey Journal.
Well, I just finished the first one. I just started Thursday War.
Okay, I'm still early in on Glasslands, but I should have, I mean, I'll have plenty of reading time during our honeymoon, so that's probably when I'm going to get a lot of my reading done.
Yeah, you know, the last thing I had on my mind during my honeymoon is reading.
Well, did you do your honeymoon right after you got married or a few months afterwards?
We did do our honeymoon right after.
I think that's one thing, because we have some excursions that are lined up for kind of like the morning, but then our afternoons are kind of open. She's not one to necessarily be out all day. She likes to do a couple things and then chill. So I think during those chill times is probably when I'll read. When she'll probably be reading something too, because she loves to read. So we'll be reading together. So we're supposed to say, oh, how romantic.
Dude, well, okay. If you insist.
Something I did miss, which I don't know why I missed this before, but I'm going to go back to almost the beginning of the show. There was another map added to the HCS playlist, which they're going to include for the 2018 season. and it is called Refuge by the Pwn Jones, and it is actually a remake of Sanctuary, a very desert-like remake of Sanctuary. It's actually pretty cool. There's a couple of differences to it. So, for example, the middle ring is no longer a ring. It's a box. There are jump ups to the box three, ring three, box three, whatever. But it's a pretty accurate remake of Sanctuary, other than
the except couple for of the box. That they made.
Except for the box. The jump up is still there. The bridges are still there. I'm assuming the snipe spawns are still there. But the one big change is the box. It is going to be Slayer and CTF play, but CTF is going to be a little different for this map. The flag at home scoring is turned off. The flag return time is 12 seconds, and there's no flag return influencer by a player. This is because the map is slower, so it has to account for the movement within Halo 5's engine. And this is hopefully going to make for some quick plays and a lot more action within this map specifically. Within matchmaking, they have added Oddball and the other maps as well. And they've also removed Regret Slayer and Fathom CTF, which, if you all remember, Fathom CTF was the one map and mode that got a lot of stalemates unnecessarily. So the full playlist that you have available in the HCS playlist and what's going to be playing for rotation in the next season of the Halo Championship Series is on Slayer: Coliseum, Plaza, The Rig, Refuge, and Truth. Capture the Flag, Truth, Coliseum, and Refuge. Oddball will be Echelon, Eden, and Fissure. Echelon and Fissure being two of the new maps. And then Strongholds will be Eden, Empire, The Rig, and Plaza. Again, Echelon and Fissure both being new maps, only being chosen for Oddball, not on Slayer, which is a little interesting. Sorry about missing that update. Had to go back and catch that one.
You're slipping at your old age.
Dang it.
Said I'm old.
Seriously, though, Bravo, we appreciate everything that you've done. I don't know if you're listening to this podcast. Hope at some point that you are, but we really appreciate everything that you've done for us in the community. It is sad to see you go, but we're happy to know that you will still be around the community and the Halo competitive scene as far as casting goes. Hope to see you around some of the other parts, keeping your presence known in the community, and we wish the best for you on your future endeavors. And with that, we will close this out. Make sure you check us out tomorrow night. It's Friday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. GT will be hosting our Fragment Fridays, which is where we play with the community, usually on Halo 5. All the other games are open to play if Lobby so chooses. And also, I have my Sunday streams, which I am currently doing achievement hunting on. And I will be looking for more MCC achievements this coming Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Any last parting words, GT?
The last episode of Achieving Halo has been slightly delayed. I've been busy this week, so I haven't been able to edit it, but I should be able to work on it this weekend, and I, if everything goes well, should be able to have it out next week.
Very nice. We'll catch you all either playing this weekend or next week for the next installment of the podcast. Keep it real. And Barvo, please and thank you.